2 Chronicles chapter number 7, 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "Of my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Father, once again, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. May you be uplifted and glorified. May we do our best to do what you've asked us to do with great anticipation, excitement of, Lord, what you have promised to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning's sermon is, I'm not going to do what I did a couple weeks ago and say buckle up, but my intro is a little longer than normal, about half the message. I want to lay a little groundwork, share some scripture, and then I really only have 2 points and a few subpoints. But looking at our text once again, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, and then God promises that I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Dear friends, I don't know about you, but America needs some healing. We live in the greatest nation upon the face of the earth. I'm proud to be an American, but I'm even more so proud to be a Christian. And we as believers need to remember our forefathers, remember some of those things that were penned some 247 years ago. They were not all perfect by any means, but the foundation was laid for us to build upon. And I'd like to share with you several passages of Scripture. For sake of time, I will not delay for you to catch up, but if you want to write them down in your notes to look back out later, to mark in your Bible. But I want you to notice that America has a heritage that comes from the Word of God. Listen to me as I read Psalm 33, verses 10, 11, and 12. "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Again, follow with me with a few more passages of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Proverbs 14, 34. "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Hey, that's very obvious in our world today. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 12. "When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden." Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 2. Proverbs 29, 2. "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Jeremiah chapter number 4, Jeremiah 4 and verse number 2. "The Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness." Dear friends, when I think of America, I think of a Christian nation. I do not think of the nation, excuse me, sorry, but I do not think of the nation that President Barack Obama described by saying, I quote, "Although we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation." I disagree. Or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens who are bound by ideals and a set of values. First question is, whose ideals and set of values is he referring to? If we are no longer bound by historic Judeo-Christian fundamentals of governance, by what are we bound in our country today? It is important to remember that America is set apart from every other nation on the face of the earth. America is a biblical, Judeo-Christian-based culture. Our laws recognize the freedom of all citizens to believe or not to believe whatever they want. But America's founders, America's previous presidents, and even our Supreme Court have acknowledged that America is a Christian nation both legally and culturally. Often, though dysfunctional, and by the way, we have dysfunctional families, therefore we'll have a dysfunctional country in some aspect. But we are part of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. geographically, we are in good shape, but spiritually speaking, we have gone backward rather than going forward. Religiously, more than two generations of parents have not been to church. Now the third generation is struggling to understand what the truth is and who God is. Day after day, the ill will of change are blowing compromise and corruption right into our faces. We are in deep trouble politically, morally, economically, educationally, and religiously. Thus, the problems we're having with our present and ongoing generations today. Our nation is in trouble. Our churches are in trouble. Our families are falling apart at alarming rates. And we look across the board, pre-COVID, as I mentioned before, more than 2,000 churches closing their doors. During COVID, churches shut down and didn't have services for 12, 14, and 16 months. What do we expect to take place in our country when our churches are crumbling and falling apart? But the question is, what can we do? Where or in whom is the hope of our nation? Here in our text, we find that the Word of God provides the answer. And by the way, the Word of God provides all the answers to all of our needs. We just need to look to it, read it, and apply it to our lives. See, the only hope that we have is to turn to God, to turn back to our Lord. See, there are four things here in our passage of Scripture that God's people are to do, and then he says in response that he will do three. He asked us to do four, and we'll look at each one of those this morning. And dear friends, I'm going to tell you what. If we did all four, and God only does one of the three, it would make a great difference in our land. But he promises to do three things. First of all, number one, what are we to do? First of all, notice we are to humble ourselves. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We live in a land today that is full of pride. It's me first, I, me. And there's no consistency of looking around and giving up our rights for the rights of others or giving someone the right of way. We're all looking out for number one. See, the truly humble person realizes where God has brought him to or brought him or her from and adjusts the attitude accordingly. I tell you what, I enjoy sitting down and talking to some of the old timers that share their testimony of how they lived a wicked life. God allowed them to live long enough to be saved and have a desire and hunger to not only to serve the Lord, but just about break their neck to make up time. And many of us have had the opportunity to hear the gospel at a young age, and yet we squandered years before we got serious about serving and living for the Lord. Dear friends, those who are not humble live their lives in the realm of self and the domination of me-ism. Again, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:8, pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Here, that phrase, a haughty spirit, is a lofty and arrogant frame of mind. It is the opposite of dependence. Dear friends, we may be independent. We may be celebrating our independence. But let's not be such in a way that we're independent of one another. Problem is today in our country that we tend to multiply through division. And that division and having differences and diversity, there's nothing wrong with that. But when we don't keep the Lord the center of those aspects, it hinders us and keeps God from working in a desire in a way that he desires to work. We are to humble ourselves. And then next, notice, we are to pray. We go to God in dependence, asking him to give us mercy from the judgment that we deserve. If you read prior here to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the judgment of God was about to fall upon the people of Israel because of their sins. America would be in worse shape than it is if there was not prayer warriors, men and women of prayer who can ring the bells of heaven and call down help from God. Dear friends, do we not remember the word of God? Abraham's prayer over Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 18. Prayer can hold back the judgment of God upon a nation. And speaking of prayer, I shared something with our Sunday school class. I'll share it with you this morning. It's not just humbling ourselves, but prayer. This is a rhetorical question. When's the last time you prayed for true revival? When's the last time we prayed for God to do something miraculous, something different, something He's never done before? When's the last time we prayed for our neighbor to get saved, or the young lady down that operates the cash register at the grocery store or at the ice cream shop or at the coffee shop? When's the last time we prayed for God to do anything within our community? I'm going to ask you to give me some accountability. I want you to ask me on a weekly basis about my prayer walk, because I've made a commitment to the Lord, and I found out that right across the street here, 288 new units are going in right across the street. Guess what? They're in two categories. They either need Jesus or they want to serve Him. I'm going to start taking a walk around that property once a week and pray as I walk that God would move and begin to work with not just on the building, within the construction team, with the building that's going up, with the people who move in, that He would actually have His hand and moving in people that would have a desire to serve Him and be here with us at Harvest, and those who need to hear the gospel. Would we even consider ourselves to walk around our neighborhood and say, Lord, would You bring down Satan's walls? Lord, would You work in the midst of my neighborhood and in my community to make a difference? I believe there's a story somewhere where the folks walked around the walls of Jericho and they fell flat and they were burnt, they were destroyed. Now, I don't want the walls to fall down flat over there. What I'm trying to say was there was a walk, there was a march, there was prayer, and the people did what God told them to do, and God responded. Here, God is telling us to humble ourselves. He's telling us to pray. Are we doing our part? And then letter C, he says we are to seek His face. Dear friends, we are to definitely seek Him in prayer. But let's go a little bit beyond that. The face indicates approval or disapproval. Now, I've been married for 40 years. And I can look across the room at my wife and her face, and I can tell whether I'm in trouble or if I've been a good boy just by the look on her face. We could sit in an auditorium of over 5,000 people while we're in Bible college, and she could go, and all of our children could hear her and just about get whiplash to turn to make sure they were being behaved and mom didn't want their attention. The face means something. And here again, as we're going to seek the Lord's face, this indication of approval or disapproval. And as a needy people, we should be so living our lives that we will have the approval of God upon our lives and upon our nation. See, we need to be more concerned if I am pleasing God than if someone else is pleasing God. I need to be more concerned about my walk, my prayer life, my humbleness, my service to the Lord than I am about somebody else's. Now, don't misunderstand. I need to pray and I need to prepare and I need to preach what God would have me to preach to help my people. But my concern is first and foremost is my walk with Him, that I am seeking His face. Because if I am not seeking His face, how can I hear from heaven? How can I hear from the Spirit of God to help me in preparation to help you or to help our community? I must seek His face, and so must you. It is my prayer that we will have more politicians who will seek God's will for their own personal lives and for our nation and not of themselves. You see, if we seek the Lord, the Bible says He can be found. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And Amos chapter 5 and verse 6 says, seek the Lord and ye shall live. Dear friends, I don't know about you. We need a more life in this place. We need a little more life in Maricopa County in a good year in reference to a life of seeking the face of God. And it starts by humbling ourselves, seeking Him in prayer, and seeking His face for approval upon our life. Would He approve? Now, for some of you guys who are in the military, I'll speak a little bit of jargon for you. I don't know about all branches of service, but you guys know what PMCS stands for? Thank you. Preventive Maintenance Checks and Services. You may call it something else and other branches of service, but the whole idea among the military is before you get into something to drive it, you got to inspect it. When you get through driving it or flying it or floating it, you got to inspect it before you turn it in. It has to be checked, 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 and rechecked. When's the last time we took a moment, looked in the mirror, and did a little PMCS on our life and our testimony? That preventive maintenance checks and services. We open the manual to inspect, to know where to go to check that generator, to check that vehicle, to check that submarine, to check that boat, ship, whatever it may be, or that aircraft. We need to open the Word of God as our manual, that it might be a light into our path, that might help us and show us to see God's face. If we expect to humble ourselves, if we expect to pray as God would have us to pray, and to seek His face, and all of that helps us to get ready for the next part, to turn from our wicked ways. Folks, I don't know about you, it's hard to be wicked when you're humble. It's hard to be wicked when you're praying and seeking God's face. It's hard to be wicked when you're doing all three of those on a daily basis. But yet the problem is, we got a heathen world out there that needs to hear about Jesus. And let me say this as kindly I know how to say, they are what they are because they don't know Jesus. They are what they are because they need to see Christ lived out. They're living the way they live because that's what they know. I know enough people. I've served time in the military. I pastored a military church overseas for 11 years. I have seen meanness. I have seen wickedness. I have seen guys who stand in my face and curse God and just smile and say, what are you going to do about it? Preacher, what did you do? Well, with a tear in my eye, I stepped back and I said, dear friend, I'll pray for you. You can treat me what you want, but you've got nothing you can't give me that Jesus didn't go through for me. And I prayed for them. I've seen some of those men that were ugly and not very kind, that were wicked, come to know the Lord Jesus. And here's what excited about me. I wasn't with them when they got saved. I wasn't around when they realized their need for Christ and trusted Christ. But guess what? They sure sought me out to tell me and asked me to forgive them when they got saved. I had the privilege of baptizing some of them, had the privilege of encouraging some of those, or hearing from those via email or from phone call. And it all comes back to the formula that God has given us. We are to humble ourselves. We are to pray. We are to seek His face. But then we're also to turn from our wicked ways. Dear friends, we should turn from our wicked ways, our acts and attitudes that have offended God, and return to the God we have resisted or rebelled against. Yes, believers that are not right with God, others that are not right with God, is hindering the Spirit of God. Sin is the biggest problem America faces today. The sin of greed, of pride, of lust, and of waste. You see, we're acting godly. You ready? We're acting godly with no God in our act. Some of us have kids today and grandchildren today. We've raised our children, doing all we can to try to raise G-rated children in an R-rated world. Hey, it seems to be lopsided out there. But folks, if we're going to act godly, we need to make sure God is in our act, that He is included in our daily walk and our daily life. We have to, in order for God to work as He promised He would work. So if we humble ourselves, if we pray, if we seek His face, and we turn from our wicked ways, the next part of that verse tells us what God promises that He will do. First, what will God do? There are three things, as I mentioned. First of all, He will hear from heaven. Dear friends, if America needs anything today, it needs to hear from heaven. There are still a few folks that desire to hear from Glory Land. Dear friends, I don't know about you. I want to hear from heaven. I so hunger and I so ache at times as I study and prepare that God will work and have His way, that He would move in among our midst and that we would hear from heaven. I so hunger and pray and beg God to help me to get out of the way as I preach and teach, that we would hear, that the Holy Spirit would have free reign up here as I speak. It would be of Him and nothing of myself. Lord, help me to put all of that away because I desire to hear from heaven. But dear friends, let me ask you, are we doing the same thing in receiving and hearing the Word of God, whether we hear it or whether we hear it through our own reading or hear it through the preaching of the Word of God? Now, you may not agree with me. That's just fine. But I believe with all of my heart, if we're not here for the right reason, moving together in the same direction, a desire for God to work in among the midst of His people and have a critical spirit, just one or two people in our auditorium today with a critical spirit can hinder the Spirit of God. It just takes one or two. I mean, after all, how many apples does it take to spoil the whole batch? Just one. Folks, what I'm saying is simple is, when you leave for church and you leave home or you start your day, ask the Lord to help you, to put any criticism aside, help you to get away some things that are bothering you, and ask the Lord, if it's me, help me to correct it. Lord, I want to hear from heaven, and I don't want to get in the way in any shape, form, or fashion. I want to hear from heaven. I need to move on, but let me ask you today, and just another rhetorical question. Have you prayed for your pastor this week in his study and preparation? Have you prayed for your Sunday school teacher for their study and preparation? Have you prayed for the children's church director, those who teach and those who work in Sunday school and children's church, that God would use them to see boys and girls come to know the Lord? We will hear from heaven, but we got to do our part. And then he says, not only will he hear from heaven, but he will forgive our sin. Dear friends, we have a sin-forgiving God. The woman caught in the very act of adultery is a prime example of that act. God stands ready that we may hear from heaven and to forgive our sins. Boy, the easiest thing in all the world, some people want to make complicated. All we have to do, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, only decision you have to make to do is stop the direction I'm going, and I'm going to do an about face, and I'm going to turn to God and give him my life. I'm going to ask him to forgive me. I'm going to turn from sin and start doing my best to live for God. That's what he desires. He promises to forgive our sin and the sin and the stains of our country. I can't imagine the God that we serve, how he feels with multiple thousands of children being aborted every single day in our country. Those that are killing one another in the streets, the drugs, the alcohol, and all that is going out. I know it has to grieve our God. And at the same time, we must ask ourselves, if we want those things to stop, are we willing to pray? Are we willing and wanting to hear from heaven? Are we wanting the Lord to forgive our sin? That we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek his face. And we need to turn from our wicked ways. That he will hear from heaven. That he will forgive our sin. And then thirdly, that he will heal our land. America needs healing today. And not just America. Many countries. Have you been looking at the news? Just about the whole country of France is on fire. It's a mess, all this going around. And I can't help but to think, so often in our world today, fashion, there we go. We get our fashion, they say, from Europe, from London, from Paris, and all those things. I'm sad to say this, the fires in France, I got it from America. What happened here a couple years ago? What happened here with the summer of love? What happened here in our nation, things that took place, and now it's spreading in the wrong direction? Can you imagine the same aspect of how the gospel could be spread, the work of God could be spread if we got serious about the things of God? Hey, stay with me. We could change this world. Things could change if we would make a decision to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek his face, and to turn from our wicked ways. He so desires to hear from heaven, to forgive our sins, and to heal our land. Why not allow America to be that shining light that she used to be? At one time, England sent missionaries to America, and now we're sending missionaries back to England. In fact, there are other countries that are sending missionaries to America to reach their own people. Because we're not doing an effective job in reaching other nationalities that move to our country. It all comes back to a desire and a need to see real revival. Again, America needs to stop living beyond her means and look to the Lord for healing. It is important, it is vitally important who we have in office. But the ultimate healing in our land does not rest upon one particular person or political party. It doesn't. God is a healing God. He stands ready to heal, but are we ready? Will we humble ourselves? Michelle, will you make your way to the piano? Will we pray? Will we seek his face? Will we turn from our wicked ways? Dear friends, I believe with this with all of my heart. I believe just a few people willing, ready to ring the heavens with prayer can change things. But can you imagine what could change things if multiple people were doing that? Could you imagine what might have happened if Sodom and Gomorrah, if he didn't stop at 10? Could you imagine what might have happened if we go on with other stories if people just continued to pray and God made some changes? Think about it, the woman at the well. She just didn't get excited and happy about meeting the Messiah and coming to know the Lord. She went back and told everybody. Problem is today, we have felt like we've told enough people about God. We've told enough people about what God has done for us. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that anointing freshness of excitement of the day you got saved, to have it refreshed and anew every single day of your life, to tell somebody else what God has done for me? Have we forgotten how grateful we are? Have we forgotten what the Lord has done for us? Dear friends, let's get on board and let's make a decision, knowing that there's hope for our nation. There is hope for Harvest Baptist Church. There is hope for Maricopa County. There is hope for the 200 new families moving in every single day. And all we have to do is humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, turn from our wicked ways, and trust God to do all that He said He would do, because He will. Can you imagine what could take place in our country if the Lord healed our land, forgave our sins? Can you imagine the revival that could take place? I know the Lord's returning. I know we're supposed to wax worse and worse, but I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says we can't have another revival before it waxes worse and worse once again. But are we doing our part? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our pianos will begin playing in just a moment. And let me ask you this morning as a church, will you pray and ask God to help us? Will you pray and ask the Lord to say, Lord, help me to humble myself. Father, help me to pray. Help me to seek your face. Father, help me to turn from any wickedness, any sin in my life, that I would betray it, I would walk away from it, I would refute it, do all that I can, and trust you that you will do what you promised to do. Father, you know the needs are represented this morning. Lord, I know as a pastor, as a father, as a husband, as a grandfather, as a brother, Father, as a son, there's much in my life that has room for improvement. Father, help my prayer life to be better than it is. Help me to seek thy face more diligently. Help it be such fresh and new as the day that I trusted you as my Savior. The day that I knew that you had called me to preach and the excitement that I had, may that be afresh and anew every day. May us all have a desire, Lord, to seek thy face and to serve you with fervor and excitement. And then, Father, as we serve with anticipation, wait and watch for you to do what you promised to do. Father, have your way in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our panelists is playing. If you need to pray.